I know I'm going to regret saying this, but give me some dick.
That's what she said.
There you go. So the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, is, I guess he's got to be just considered lucky to be alive at this point. First, the Taliban tried to blow up in Afghanistan last week. And then after that, because of this big trip that he was on, where he went to all these countries over the course of a week or so, he ended up getting that that deep vein thrombosis, I guess they call it, from sitting still too long and got a blood clot in his leg. So we thought, let's find out what's going on with the Vice President. Mr. Cheney, good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, sir.
Me, Cheney.
Sir, is there nothing that can kill you?
No.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you're 66 years old. You've had what? Well, you've had like 4 or 5 heart attacks, right?
So.
Okay.
Well.
4 heart attacks for most people will do them in.
Yeah. Look at me. Here I am. Not done
right.
in.
Yeah. Right. And then on top of that, I mean, you know, somebody gets to be your age, sir, then they develop the DVT, I guess they call it. And for some people, it can turn into something very serious, something to really be concerned about.
It's not a concern for the undead.
It's not a concern for the undead.
That's right.
So you're not alive is what you're saying.
Unless there's a steak or some garlic around or some holy water, I'm fine.
Okay. Okay. Right. But Mr. Cheney, this is what a lot of people have been asking, which is most people who develop this because they're flying a lot, it's because they're sitting in a cramped coach seat or something. But I mean, you're on, what, probably Air Force Two. You can probably get up and walk around, move while you're in the air. It shouldn't be a problem for you.
I could.
Right.
I wasn't such a lazy fat ass. I usually just kick back, drink root beer.
Oh, sure.
And peruse German porn.
Is that right?
While we're in the air.
How's the German porn?
It's great. It's the kinkiest.
I didn't know.
Yeah, a lot of
now,
choking.
Is there a specialty? Choking is your specialty that you like?
Choking porn.
Oh. I wasn't aware of that. Now, we also wanted to talk to you about the trial of Scooter Libby, your assistant, your aide.
So?
Well, he was found guilty, and he could get, what, 30 years in prison or something?
I guess. I don't know. You got the story there?
Well, yeah, but I thought
I
you would.
Shouldn't
you
be out of line.
Following
it? I find your questions a little out of line.
Why? Well, he was your chief of staff, and a lot of people felt that he was the fall guy for you and for Karl Rove. And, you know, even some of the jurors after the conviction said, look, we didn't understand why he was the guy on trial when that wasn't the big problem. It's what he did. It was what others did, including possibly you, the vice president.
So?
It doesn't bother you that the fall guy took a fall, now he has to actually go to prison?
Well, that's why he's the fall guy.
Well, I know, but now that it's happened, you don't feel the least bit bad?
If he was the fly guy, then he'd be flying.
I guess
he's
so.
He's the fall guy, so he has to fall.
Right, but there are no feelings in your heart whatsoever about this.
Feelings. Yeah, that's funny. Heart. That's funny. You know, the Republican Party has a plan in place next time I get ill.
Oh, is that right? Oh.
They're going to fit me with a suit.
A suit?
A black suit of armor and a helmet that goes on top of me.
Right.
And then they'll say, arise, Lord Cheney. And then I'll continue to rule the galaxy.
Right, but I think what you're thinking of is Darth Vader from the Star Wars movies. I think we're talking about real life, and you're the Vice President of the United States.
So?
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you? If you're gay, don't say anything. All right, fair enough. Before I get to Showbiz News today, I've got tickets to give away. Today's the last day that I'll be giving away tickets for the red carpet world premiere of a little movie called Grindhouse. I can't wait to see this. It is going to be a double feature of thrillers directed by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. Tarantino's film is called Death Proof. Stars Kurt Russell as an insane stuntman named Stuntman Mike who kills people with his souped-up car. Awesome. Sounds like lightning. And Robert Rodriguez's film is Planet Terror. It's kind of a zombie movie about an infection that takes over a town and how the people have to kill these zombies and stuff. Good times. At the theater with Grindhouse opens Friday, April 6th. But you get to check it out early. The red carpet world premiere is at the Orpheum Theater downtown in Los Angeles on Monday, March 26th. And we don't give enough stuff away to the early listeners, in my opinion. So here it is. It's 5:58 here in the AM. I'm going to give away 2 pairs of tickets to 2 lucky winners who can answer this trivia question. Quentin Tarantino, best known, of course, for his directing of films. He's also written many films. He has acted on television and in films, but he has also directed some TV as well. He directed an episode of ER. He directed an episode of CSI. And he directed an episode of a late-night talk show. If you know which late-night talk show that was, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through with the correct answer is going to get a pair of tickets to go see the world premiere of Grindhouse. Well, the National Enquirer claims they know what killed Anna Nicole Smith. We still haven't heard from the medical examiner. They have not yet released their report. However, the Enquirer says they've got a scoop. They know what it is, and they're breaking the story today. They say that Anna Nicole Smith died from a toxic level of a sleeping medication known as chloral hydrate in her system.
Anna?
Anna apparently did not have any methadone or other painkillers in her system, which was widely speculated at the time of her death. But here's what the National Enquirer says. She got some sort of injection in her ass before she left for the Bahamas from Florida. And that needle was not sterile, according to the National Enquirer. This caused an abscess on her ass. That's an infection, for those of you who don't know. And I wish Psycho Mike was here, because we could talk about this. Yeah. Happens all the time to bodybuilders when they use the steroids, you know? It gets a painful abscess on her ass. And that develops into a blood infection, which is bad. And originally, they say that the medical examiners believed it was this systemic septus, it's called, which is a blood infection that can be lethal. That's what caused her to die. But in reality, apparently she was in so much pain, she was taking so much sleep medication, that this chloral hydrate was an overdose and caused her to die in her sleep. So that's what they're claiming. I guess we'll have the actual news from the medical examiner in a couple days. But apparently she had a big, swollen, infected ass. And that started her downfall.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Is it big, swollen, infected ass?
No, it's not.
They're playing at Coachella this year, I heard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who do we have? Pete from Riverside. What's up?
Pete from Riverside.
What's going on?
What's going on, Pete? What episode of what late night talk show did Quentin Tarantino direct?
I think it was Jimmy Kimmel.
It was the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. Jimmy Kimmel was directed by Tarantino. How about that? All right, buddy, hold on the phone, and we will give you all the details. You're going to the world premiere of Grindhouse Monday night.
Right now, man. Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
Also, congratulations to Bobby from San Fernando.
Oh, I love Bobby. He's a good man. Don't do that O thing anymore. You're not good at it.
Okay,
Another celebrity checks into rehab. Desperate Housewives star Jesse Metcalf checked himself in for alcohol abuse earlier this week. He, of course, was the hunky gardener on that show. He's done a couple feature films, too, and he's dating Nadine Cole, the singer from Girls Aloud, who's pretty smoking hot. Apparently, his representative says that he was partying several nights in a row, nonstop, without sleeping, at the Mondrian Hotel in Hollywood last weekend, and the 28-year-old actor thought he might have a problem, so he checked himself in. Can anyone just get drunk anymore without having to go to rehab afterwards?
I know I can't.
You've been loaded 4 or 5 days in a row. You don't immediately go running to rehab. You just sober up. You go back to work. And you don't drink
up
for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. You take a couple of weeks off, and it's cool again.
What the hell? Just drink, get loaded, then stop for a while, and just don't drink all the time.
He probably did something really stupid.
Yeah.
Really stupid. So before somebody gets wind of what he did, he's in rehab, so he's going to better himself.
It's an excellent point, Omar. Yep. This very well could be some sort of preemptive action to spin some horrible hooker murder or something he did while he was at the Mondrian Hotel. Good point. Speaking of drunks and rehab, Lindsay Lohan's mother is hitting back at people who are criticizing her parenting skills for letting her daughter, Lindsay Lohan, and her lifestyle spiral out of control. She did an interview this week where she said, look, she's just a 20-year-old who had to reel it in. She's from an addictive personality genetically. And in the world of show business, they give you things like candy. Hurt your ankle? Here, let's give her something. Lindsay had to fall and get up. I knew it was coming. I told her. Oh, you're a good mom. You're a good mom. You know what? Yeah, you can't control her personality. You can't control what pills the doctors give her when she hurts her ankle. But you can control whether she is going to nightclubs 7 days a week and she's underage and she's drinking. Maybe as a mother, you can step up and do something there. It's just my opinion. What do I know? I don't have any kids. I know Lightning's got two young boys, and he lets them drink all the time. They're all clubbing all the time.
So. They're winos.
Oh, they're winos? Well, good. They're just drinking wine.
It's not only drink, dude.
Good for you. Oh, really? Really?
They party.
Colombian marching
they
powder
party,
for
dude.
The.
Yeah. Good customers, know what I'm saying?
Lightning's kids. Well, Omar, you got to catch them while they're young. Happy celebrity birthday to Keri Russell. She was Felicity on the TV show Felicity. She's 31 years old today. And Damon Albarn, the singer, keyboardist for The Gorillaz, turns 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First of 825, we're talking about this new book, Working With You Is Killing Me. Everybody's got a story. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Luca. He is in Anaheim. Luca, I wish we'd have given you the opportunity to talk to the co-author we had on a minute ago. She might have been able to help you. Tell us about your problem.
Hey, Pope is out, party people. What's going on?
Pope is out.
Pope is out.
Okay, I think we all had a chance to work with the guy who smells like ass and mayonnaise.
Oh, I did.
I'm sorry, like ass and mayonnaise?
Yeah, ass and mayonnaise. Disgustingly, I mean, this guy who leans up against the wall and leaves a stain.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, disgustingly. I mean, oh.
And Lisa, you okay,
you're on my list.
I had a guy, we used to work in these like little booths and they were connected by doors, and this guy would walk through to his, which was the last one, and leave his scent in all the other rooms. It was
What was his name?
And here's the thing, I'm never going to tell you. And I finally said something to him. I said, look, I don't know, you're separated, maybe you're not washing your clothes enough. I don't know. You know, he was working another job overnight, but it didn't change it at all.
Dude, yeah, excellent. That's rough.
Yeah. I think he just smelled like that.
Yeah, maybe so. Luca, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I am LA's news, and I hope I deliver the goods, but I got to admit that I don't care anymore. It's because I have the seniority.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to Rafe. Rafe is calling us from Hollywood. Hi, you're on K-Rock.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing? I just think everyone's probably worked with those people, too, where there's, like, the guys who are above you. They're sort of like your bosses, you know, but mm-hmm. you know that you're much more credible and much more qualified to do their job than they are, mm-hmm. and you're more talented than they are, but they're the guys. They got their name on the show, you know. And so
I'm sorry,
just,
on the show?
Well, or job or business or office or whatever.
I totally know what you're talking about.
And you're the guy like, slaving away there,
yeah.
you know, keeping the thing rolling.
And they just take the credit.
They get all the credit, and yeah. they, you know, they're the big cheeses, and it's just
I
frustrating,
hear that.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just hard. And
I can feel with that.
And what can you do?
Like, one guy is like a doofus, and the other one's like a freak who lives on an island.
No, I'm not familiar with that. Is this
the worst?
No, my name's Rafe.
Rafe.
Oh, Rafe. Rafe. Okay, because you sounded like a guy that we knew. Thank you very much for the call, though, Rafe. We appreciate that. Let's go to Michelle in Diamond Bar. Now, this is one we haven't talked about yet, but this I can imagine this would be tough to work with. Hi, Michelle. You're on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Pope was out.
Pope was out.
I have the most annoying, loudest coworker in the world. She's across. We're separated by bathrooms. I mean, people flush the toilet, and you still hear her cackling across, screaming and yelling, talking really loud, and there's nothing, and she has to be in everybody's business, and while you're talking to her, she's, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, you're right, yeah, and you can't even put a word in edgewise.
Yeah, she just talks all the time and louder than everybody else
loud,
and monopolizes the whole conversation.
I mean, it's ear-piercing. It hurts your head. It's so loud. Yeah. And, you know, I have a job where we're in the field a lot, so they give us cars, and she'll have to complain about what car you have and why do you have this car, why do you work these hours, and go and complain to the boss, and you can hear her telling on everybody.
Michelle, do you ever talk? Has anyone ever talked to her and said, hey, bring it down about 100 decibels?
Oh, everybody. Some of her closest friends tell her. And then she'll say, what are you talking about? I'm loud, you're loud. And then she goes, oh, how loud
that,
everyone else is.
That hurts. All right. Thank you very much for the call. We move along now to the Valley in Sherman Oaks. We've got, is this Lita?
Yes, it's Lita.
Hi, Lita.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but my boss dyes his hair blonde, and the thing is that his head is enormous, and so
right.
he comes in with this like blindingly almost white blonde hair,
is
like
this
once a month, and Lika.
Lika.
And I can't see anything. I'm actually blinded. I have gone to the eye doctor to have my vision checked, and nobody can see. They can't see their computers. And what do you say? The guy's your boss, but my God, I've never seen hair that color or
are you,
that big before.
Hey, Lika, let me ask you a question. Are you sexually attracted to this guy?
I don't know. I can't see him. I'm blind.
She's blind, exactly. All right, Lika, thank you for the call.
Sorry.
And by the way, the improv classes are paying off if she comes up with Lika. At least I gave her Lita. All right, let's do a couple more, and then we'll bring in Sal. Let's go to Valerie. Valerie is in Fullerton. Hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Valerie, what's the situation with your boss?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
She's not back yet from the call.
I'm here. Hello. Hope so.
I had this boss when I was working at Blockbuster. I was a manager. She was the head manager. And she would scream at me in front of customers for absolutely nothing.
Really?
In front of the customer. She wouldn't take me in the back, or she wouldn't take me like around the side or anything like that. No, she'd just full on and go, what did you do last night? Like, when you were closing, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And why did I even hire you as a manager? You should have just stayed as, like, you know, the little, you know, the people or whatever.
Did you ever try to say, hey, I know I'm screwing up sometimes. Is it possible for you not to yell at me in front of people?
Every day. Every day
no
I
kidding.
Said that.
That hurts. That hurts. All right, Valerie, thank you for the call. I'm sure that one's in the book, too. And finally, we're going to... This is Kelvin listening to us on the internet in Indianapolis.
Yeah, hi, guys. My name's Kelvin.
Hi, Kelvin.
I'm glad you guys are streaming now, finally. That's great. Listen, I work with a guy who keeps his donkey's balls in a jar in a locker.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I work with another guy who sits behind me, and he spends a lot of time looking at my ass, and he does a bunch of weird dances like he's having fun and stuff, but I know he's trying to figure out a way to have sex with me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is sexual harassment.
Female who spends most of her time looking at her chops, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a piece of meat here.
Oh, wow, that must be
so hard to be you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I quit.
Okay. They're a huge band now. Of course, you know they're playing the Forum May 2nd, the Honda Center May 3rd. Not too long ago, we had them stop by and join us on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Fall Out Boy. Know what I'm saying?
Slept in the parking lot.
Perfect. We got Patrick. Yeah, Lisa does about 3 days a week. We got Patrick and Peter in the studio from the band Fall Out Boy. The rest of the guys are in the other room. They're going to play here in a minute. And we met you guys down there in Miami. And at the time we were talking to you, I don't think we realized that we were about to get hit by Hurricane Katrina. What was your experience like going through that down there when you were there for the MTV show?
Were you there early enough for that in the week? Our flights actually got canceled going in.
Oh, they did?
My first flight, yeah. And then we ended up making it there, I guess, barely. And
you came out.
Oh, so you missed the most of it then?
Yeah, we missed most of it. It was kind of like we weren't sure we were going to get to go, kind
right.
of. Yeah, we thought we were just off.
And you guys played the pre-show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you thought maybe that wasn't even going to happen, or
we weren't sure. And like it was like when we were rehearsing for it was raining, and of course you don't think to build a roof over
of
the
course, right?
over the whatever we were playing, kind of. And it was like all our equipment got rained on, and then we didn't have time to sound check it. And it was kind of like I think MTV kind of runs on this like we think it's going to happen, we're not sure.
It's always that way.
Yeah, but then it always like ends up kind of going through and being this like other crazy thing. So
yeah.
It was cool.
I remember when we were talking to you down there in Miami, and it seemed like it was hard to kind of get your head around the fact that you guys were going to be playing the pre-show of the VMAs because, you know, you'd heard about them and everything. And it seems like it's got to be every month something happens to your band right now that you can't believe is happening to you. Like, oh, my God, we've got a platinum album or whatever it is that week, whatever the news is that week. It must just kind of be hard to absorb it all at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of weird, and it's really weird when it happens kind of on a daily basis. They're like, you're on TRL. We're like, weird. We watched that thing before. Like, we're between, right. like, Lindsay Lohan and Kelly Clarkson, and that just doesn't make any sense at all to us.
Somebody has to say the name Fall Out Boy. Like, there's an era where someone had to say Kelly Clarkson, Fall Out Boy, and Mariah Carey, and that's just hilarious.
Yeah, that's a strange little mixture right there.
Now, how long has this current Fall Out Boy album, your official major label debut, how long has that been out now?
It came out in June.
Came out in June. Okay, yeah. So a relatively short amount of time. Now, I've been reading that you guys have been just writing like crazy. Tons of songs already ready to go for another record. Is that true?
Yeah. There was a minor setback when I lost a computer.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Were you backing up it on anything?
I backed up almost everything, but yeah. I didn't lose anything. I just,
we have like 15 songs.
Yeah.
So for new
because
record.
It's That's been so strong. Long since June? What?
I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things. We write. That's kind of how we are.
That's
it's
just how you
like,
do it.
Yeah, it's like
you're we
like
figure
a shark.
50 Cent. 50 Cent does it, so like, why not?
You might as well keep going. Do you have songs that you put into the shows now that you play, or no?
Not yet. Not that far. Yeah, not yet, just because I think, I don't know.
I would think you would get really excited about some of the new things that you've written and say, we should do this.
You do it in your head, but then you think about it, like, I think, like, I'm a kid going to a show. I don't want to see this band play
not
a bunch of songs.
Not a lot of them, yeah. But, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. When you're writing them, you definitely want to. We want to play them, though. Those are the songs you're most
right.
excited about.
But the audience, you're right. They come. They want you to play all the hits from the 80s and the 70s that you guys have.
Like, screw that. Play that, song, play that song twice.
You always want to close with that song.
I always wanted to ask you guys, what was the story behind Our Lawyer Made Us Change the Name of the Song So We Wouldn't Get Sued, which is maybe one of the best all-time rock titles.
You guessed it.
Yeah, it was going to be called My Name is David Ruffin and These Are the Temptations. And it was kind of like a play on the megalomania of David Ruffin
right.
at the time when he was like, you know, he quit and then, you know, spotlighted himself and said he wanted to be him. And
your lawyers actually told you he could sue you for that?
Since the Outkast Rosa Parks song, the law has changed uh-huh. on like how you title songs
Is
and whether
right?
you can be sued or not. And yeah, we were told we were going to be sued for like millions.
I like it that you named it that, though. That's fantastic. You didn't try to come up with an alternate name.
Yeah, no.
Our lawyer said we could be sued.
So in other words, if you use the name of somebody without their permission in a song, they can now sue you for it. That's what you're telling me.
It's weird. The law, how it works now, since Rosa Parks, is if you use the name of somebody in a song and the lyrical content doesn't refer to the person, it doesn't matter if it's slander or not. Like, even if you're just like, oh, this is whatever, you can
Isn't
be sued
that
for
something?
It. Yeah.
What? And by the way, if I remember the Outkast case, and you're right, that's a relatively recent one, they had a song named Rosa Parks that didn't it mention her, but it was very positive about her
yeah,
in that
and,
song?
Yeah.
And she still wanted them to not be allowed to release it, right?
Yep. And that's when the laws kind of changed.
Kevin is in the performance space at the K-Rock Studios right now with the band.
All right, guys, you ready to play some live music for us here?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Let's get into it. What song are you going to play?
Sugar Going Down.
Scott getting pulled in.
Dude, they said cock it and pull it. Believe me when I tell you, you do not want to live next to Bean if you have animals.
Dude, this is one of the worst things that ever happened to me my whole life. Why must you hurt? So, guys, I got trouble in paradise.
What happened?
I got real problems here.
No, you don't. You got the greatest story ever.
Dude, you've always had problems. What's going on?
You guys have been making fun of me for a long time because remember when I told you a few months ago that I had written to Dear Abby and you got all up in me because you thought no one ever writes to Dear Abby?
Yeah, of course. They're all fake. They're made up.
And 85-year-old women.
Yeah,
too, right. Too. Well, I wrote to Dear Abby because I've been having a problem in the neighborhood, and I don't know how many of our listeners will relate to this, but I got a neighbor who
none
is the answer to that,
but go ahead.
Well, everybody's had a situation with noisy neighbors, right? That's not uncommon. Everybody's had someone. They're doing construction, or they play the music too loud, or they got motorcycles up and down the street or something
but
like
no
that.
No one has your problem.
No, my specific problem is that my neighbor about a year and a half ago, I guess maybe, got a rooster. Now, they had chickens, and they, you know, a lot of people where I live, it's kind of rural, and they have, you know, have their chickens to lay eggs and, you know, that sort of thing. And they got a rooster. And I don't know how many people have ever lived next to a rooster, but you know how you hear, like in the movies, the rooster crows at sunbreak?
Yeah, sure.
You hear that sound, you go, well, that's kind of nice. It's kind of rural. It's kind of homey. That sounds good. Well,
sure.
What happens, unfortunately, with roosters is that that goes on for hour after hour after hour.
I mean, they don't just do it right at 6 a.m. and stop?
I wish they did.
There's no snooze button on a rooster?
Like, it's not just during the morning either. I mean, they'll, you know, they're quiet a little bit midday, and then they come back in the afternoon, and they crow for hours more. Now, what do you do if you're me in that situation? I live in an area that is rural. I mean, I've got farm animals. I've got cows and a donkey, and I've got pigs. I mean, one of the reasons people live in places like this is because they want to be able to have their barnyard, right? So they have every right in the world to have a rooster. But where does their right to have a rooster run up against my right to get a good night's sleep once in a while?
Of course. That would drive me nuts.
What do you do, Kevin, if you're me? What do you do in that situation?
I write Dear Abby.
I go out and I would never, ever, ever think of writing Dear Abby. I would go out in dark clothing and kill their pet. You wouldn't.
That's not a
rooster.
That's not an option.
If I'm not sleeping...
So I did more than just write Dear Abby. I also have been in contact with the neighbors over the course of a year and a half.
Okay.
I said,
of course,
I said,
contact them and say, is there anything you can do?
Yeah, I said, look, I understand you're allowed to have this rooster, but I got to tell you, I'm not able to get any sleep. And of course, we have very hot summers up here with no air conditioning. If you have your windows open at all to try to catch a breeze or something like that, you're going to have trouble with the roosters. Obviously, doing this radio show in the morning, I can't have the windows or the doors open as long as you've got the rooster because the thing just makes too much noise all the time.
Right.
I understand if it's a pet, but is there anything you can do? Can you move it further away? Can we relocate the rooster to someone else's house and we'll buy you eggs for life? Please work with me here, right?
And tough darts. That was the answer. And
you weren't angry at that point, right? You were just
absolutely
asking.
How long you been asking and writing and contacting them, though?
It's been about 6 months, probably.
Oh.
And every time I hear from them, every time I speak with them about them or leave them a note, and then, you know, and then they call me, they go, yeah, we understand your concerns. We're taking it seriously. We're going to work on it. We're going to come up with some sort of a plan. Thank you for contacting. Sorry about you. So they seem really nice about it, okay?
Right.
It just was driving me crazy to the point. I mean, this rooster for like 20 hours straight was, you know. Okay.
You're going to come around my way of thinking.
Bean's starting to write notes on rocks and throw him through the window.
So I wrote another note that was just cranked up just a little bit more
just
in
a notch.
My tone.
Yeah.
Just a notch. And it basically said, look, we've had this conversation for many, many months now. Please just let me know if you're not going to do anything about the rooster, and I won't continue to get my hopes up, and I promise I'll never say anything about it again, but just tell me that you're happy where the rooster is and that basically F off, okay? Basically just let me know so that I don't worry about it.
Okay.
So that's the note I left. So I get a call from my wife, and she says, you're not going to believe this, but the rooster's gone. Oh, my God, that's the best news ever. She
fantastic.
Said, yeah, it's so fantastic. I guess you wrote this new note. And I said, yeah, I wrote this new note. She says they must have taken the rooster over to the animal park or wherever it is they go, you know, where they send the rooster or something like that, just like you've been asking. It's fantastic. So my wife got this this basket of, like, bread and cookies and took it over and left it on their porch. And thank you so much for being so considering. We hope the rooster has a fantastic home
that's
and a happy
great.
Life. And it's so sweet. So we felt really good about it. And then she ran into my next door neighbor at the hardware store later that same day.
Right.
And she said, oh, did you get the basket? The neighbor said, yeah, it was so thoughtful. Oh, we're just so happy that it worked out. We felt really bad. We love animals so much. We really felt bad to even say anything. But thank you so much for the help. You know, I hope the rooster's going to be very, very happy. And mm-hmm. she said, the neighbor says, what do you mean? And she says, well, I mean, I hope the place that you took the rooster, that rooster's going to have a happy life. Maybe a place where it's not going to be bothering anybody, but it's going to enjoy.
Right.
She's like, no, no, you don't understand. You asked us to take care of the rooster. Donna says, yeah, we wanted you to take care of because of the. She said, no, we took care of the rooster. And then she makes the little Indian chop, the little tomahawk chop like this, you know. And the neighbor's got her daughter with her, like a 13-year-old or something like that. She's like, we'll talk about it later, but it's all good. We took care of the rooster.
They cut off the rooster's head?
Yes.
Nice!
They went out and they chopped the rooster's head off. And my wife, now I'm really upset about this. We laugh and
why?
Stuff, but
that's
I'm
the
really.
Best case scenario.
In a million years, my intent was not for them
so
to kill
what?
Their pet.
I want it. It's quiet now.
That's part of the point, but that's not the whole point. I thought they'd take this rooster to a sanctuary somewhere or give it away to somebody who's got more land where the rooster could live and be a rooster.
Rooster Lake. Rooster Lake.
I didn't want Rooster Lake. Now, Donna did everything but burst out in tears in the hardware store when she heard this. And when she called me, she called me after the meeting, she's like, you're not going to believe it. I can't. They killed the rooster. And I was like, oh, my God. I felt so bad. So now I'm the pet killer in the neighborhood.
You put a contract out on the rooster.
That's how I feel.
Awesome.
We take care of the rooster, Mr. Baxter. Don't worry about it.
So now every time I go outside or I have my door open, I hear the silence. It almost makes me cry. Like, I'd give anything to hear that little rooster again.
The silence of death.
That's exactly
the
what
sweet,
it is.
Sweet silence of death. Rooster killer. You're a rooster killer. How does that make you feel?
I couldn't feel any worse, frankly. I wish, honestly,
that's
I wish
awesome.
Now I'd never said a word.
For
I wish I'd never called
people,
them.
I know, for being of all people. To cause the death of a rooster is the best thing ever.
Did you talk to them and say, this is the biggest misunderstanding ever? Did you say that to them? What, after I found out the rooster was dead?
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to them since. I only heard Donna talk to him
well,
at the hardware store.
Well, they're next door neighbors,
no,
for God's sake.
I'm not going to go say that to them.
What am I going to say? I can't go over there now and go, we didn't mean for you to kill the rooster.
I was just kidding.
Here's the thing, though. They're your next door neighbors. You don't have to wait to run into them at the store. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not going to go over there now.
I apologize. I didn't. If you thought that's what I wanted, you know, I'm really sorry.
Well, I will.
By the way, your daughter's been awfully loud lately.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Kevin on tape. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here at K-Rock 106.7 FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. They'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, I've got all the celebrity news in the Showbiz Beat. And also, I've got tickets to give away. My last tickets for the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse. I cannot wait to see this movie. It's a double feature of classic type exploitation B-movies, kind of movies that Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez both love. You've got Planet Terror, done by Robert Rodriguez, sort of a zombie movie, and then you've got Quentin Tarantino's film
Death Proof,
that's it, about Psycho Mike, no, Stuntman Mike, who kills people with his car. Anyway, I want to give away these tickets. I've got one pair right now to give away. What we're going to do is play a little game, see how well you know your Quentin Tarantino movies. I will play a clip from a Quentin Tarantino film, a short snippet. You need to identify that movie and then call 1-800-520-1067. If you're the first caller to get through with the correct answer, you're going to win a pair of tickets to the world premiere of Grindhouse, which is Monday night downtown at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles. I'm only going to play it once, so listen up. Here is the clip from the mystery movie.
First, I'm going to deliver this case to Marcellus. Then, basically, I'm just going to walk the earth.
What you mean, walk the earth?
You know, like Kane in Kung Fu.
Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Tell me what movie that is. You get through first, you win the tickets. Well, looks like the National Enquirer knows what killed Anna Nicole Smith. At least, that's what they claim. This is even before the report has been released by the medical examiner. They say that Anna Nicole had a raging blood infection that was caused by an unsterilized needle in her butt that contributed to her death. No word on what she was injecting, but it was an unsterile needle that apparently left a painful abscess in her ass at the site of the injection. The pain got worse. The abscess got larger and larger. She was given antibiotics for flu, but in reality, what they think was that she had a blood infection that was causing the flu-like symptoms. Then she needed to sleep. She couldn't sleep because of the pain, so she took a sleep aid called chloral hydrate. And according to the National Enquirer, she took a fatal level of this drug. It can cause the depression of respiration, especially in a person who's already sick. So it was an overdose of chloral hydrate, according to the National Enquirer. We'll have to wait to see if that's the
truth. Anna!
Anna's not with us anymore. And Jesse Metcalf has checked himself into a Los Angeles rehab center for alcohol abuse. He, of course, was the Studley Gardner on Desperate Housewives. He is voluntarily admitted that he's got a problem, went into the clinic on Monday. A representative for Jesse said that he was partying all last weekend at the Mondrian Hotel in Hollywood, and that's when he realized that he may have a problem with alcohol, checked himself in, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. But more and more celebrities just checking themselves in, just giving up, man.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Don't forget, rehab's for quitters. Keep that in mind. Who's our winner, Omar?
We got Kurt from San Gabriel.
Kurt?
Yep.
What was the name of the movie that we played that clip from?
It was Jules from Pulp Fiction.
It was indeed. Jules Samuel L. Jackson, the mother effing man from Pulp Fiction. Hold on, we're going to give you tickets to the world premiere of Grindhouse.
Sounds great.
Stick around on each and every Showbiz beat. I will be playing another clip from a Quentin Tarantino movie. If you can identify it, you'll win a pair of tickets as well.
Also, congratulations to Jonathan from L.A.
No, not so much.
No?
We just have the one pair to give away in the Showbiz beat.
Oh, okay, well.
We're giving away one pair right, each Showbiz beat. But thanks for that, Omar. All right. Good times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz beat.
First, this news comes out of Tokyo. A theater audience in Japan will be sniffing their noses literally at a new Hollywood adventure film when it opens here later this month.
Really?
They have smell-o-vision. And what this is some containers underneath the back two rows in the theater. And when certain things come on the screen, you smell certain smells.
No, Bean.
I don't think it's porn.
Oh, that's not what we're talking about here?
I don't think so.
So, in other words, if you went to see Charlotte's Web, for instance, and the little girl's there out on the farm and she's out with the pigs or something like that, you'd smell what it would smell like in a barn? I mean, is that what
or
they're talking about?
Or maybe hay.
Yeah.
Well, like I don't know which ones they're going to choose to do that with. Right now they have seven different scents, you know, one for a love scene, one for anger, that kind of stuff.
So we'll be thankful this is television and not smell-o-vision.
Well, it's actually coming sooner than we'd like to know. But we have a representative on the phone. Let's find out just exactly who we're speaking with. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron Dye. How you doing?
We are good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you for having me on Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure.
Now, you are with NTT Communications Corporation, which is the company behind this new smell-o-vision. What is your name, sir?
My name is Suzuki Nakaraki.
Suzuki Nakaraki. Well, welcome to America. Do we have it right? Do you actually have perfume that that wafts through the theater as certain things are showing up on the big screen?
Yes, we have different scents for different moments in film to help enhance the whole experience.
Okay.
And when certain things happen, we take scented oils and mix them and release them to the theater, and everyone goes, I smell like love.
Oh, I see. So for a love scene, you'd put out a certain smell, and for a fight scene, you'd put out another smell.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it, Round Eye. You smarter than you look.
That's a good thing.
Why, I mean, is this something that the audience was clamoring for? Why do you think anyone would be interested in this? I don't care for smells in the movie theater. I'm happy the way it is.
Listen, stupid Round Eye. Here's how life works. Okay. Smell is very evocative to the human brain.
Right.
Like, you know, like you smell something and take you back to your childhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Smell is very powerful.
Right.
And smell is the only sense that has not been addressed by technology when it comes to movies.
I see.
They make everything look better, make everything heal better, but
right.
Nothing smell better.
Okay.
Now everything
okay.
Smell better.
Okay. All right. All right.
Are there a lot of movies being made in with this technology now, or are we just at the very beginning of this?
We make it for every movie.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hmm. Like a Night at Museum.
Right.
We have smell-o-vision now for that.
Uh-huh.
when Dick Van Dyke come on screen,
right,
we release smell of old people into the theater to enhance it for you.
This is what I'm afraid of.
It's a mixture of Ben Gay and urine.
Oh, that's not a smell.
Not like an old age home.
No. Oh, no.
Sad.
You love it.
No.
You love it.
No.
You love it.
No.
Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith.
Okay, Pursuit of Happiness. What would you do there?
Oh, you should smell it when he's sleeping in the men's room.
Oh.
Again. Oh, yeah.
That's not
good
us.
Stuff right there.
That's nothing you want to smell, though. I mean, it's a good thing there's no smell in that scene.
It smells like old nachos.
Oh,
yeah. See, I'm going to pass. I'm sorry.
And the Good Shepherd, yeah, we have a wet dog smell.
A wet dog smell.
For the Good Shepherd.
Okay, I don't... I don't think that's an actual shepherd.
I know, but you should see what happens at the concession stands when we do that.
Is that right?
Oh, everybody gets very hungry. dog. I feel peckish all of a sudden.
Oh, no. Wow.
Well, they got great smell for dream girls.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, when the girls on stage working very hard, we release smell of sweaty black women.
Is that right?
Yes. Well,
what does that smell like?
Kind of like Doritos.
Oh, come on. I didn't know that. Really? Doritos? How did you come up with Doritos?
Says, are you okay?
Did you say Doritos?
Says, I gotta go lay down now.
All right, we all know how that ends. Seriously. I mean, really? Wow. Is that a surprise? Did we miss anything? No. Okay.
You're in a hurry.
9:14, Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
What's the date today, by the way?
It would be the 2nd of... No, I'm sorry. It's
the 5th.
5th, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure we put this one on the calendar because this is going to be... People who are listening right now, this is going to be like being in the audience at the Cavern Club when the Beatles did their first concert. You know, I mean, this is like being in Bono's living room when U2 makes their first practice. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you are about to be introduced to the wonderful music of Samwell.
Oh.
Good morning, Samwell.
Good morning.
We understand that this is your first radio interview. Is that true, sir?
Yes, it is.
We will try to be very gentle.
Please, because remember, I'm delicate like a flower.
Yes, you certainly are.
I hear that in the lyrics, yes.
Kevin, explain how you grew to fell in love with Samwell before we spoke with him here.
I think Dave, the King of Mexico, is the one that discovered the video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you have to watch this right now.
Can we play a little bit of it?
Yeah.
So for folks who haven't maybe seen or heard it, and then we can talk to Samwell about the magic behind
it. What? In the butt? I said what? In the butt? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt?
You get the idea. And it goes on like that for about 3 minutes.
But you have to see the video.
Well, we'll talk about the video because we all have favorite parts of the video. Samwell, where did what in the butt come from? What's the story here?
Okay, the story is it came from my warped little mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was just singing a song one day, and it started out, what, in the butt. I said, what, in the
butt. But why do you think that started? Just because it rhymed? What in butt? I mean,
you know what? That probably was initially it. And then a friend of mine who actually produced the single heard it. He says, what is this? He's like, I've got to record this. And I said, whatever, you nut. And
called him a nut. That's how far you went. You were willing to put your friendship on the line and call him a nut.
You know, a lot of relationships don't come back from that kind of trash talking. Samwell, what was your before you came up with the magic of what in the butt? Are you a singer, an actor? What's your background?
Well, I actually went to school in North Carolina, and I studied history first.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I would have to either be a school teacher or a politician, and I'm like, okay, no.
Okay.
And then I went back to school and studied dance and acting.
All right.
And I really wanted to get into that, and then I moved to Chicago. And so it kind of got put on hold, you know, I guess, quote-unquote, growing up or whatever,
right,
finding my way. And so, and it wasn't until I met my producer about 3 years ago that it just kind of started up again.
And then you started taking it kind of seriously and started thinking, hey, how can I actually record some music and get on the path to the career that I want?
Exactly.
Now, isn't YouTube a fantastic thing that a guy, an unknown like you from Chicago, can put something up on the internet and millions of people can enjoy it around the world?
It was insane. When we put it up, because I recorded the video way back in November.
Right.
And I was trying to put it up in like January and, you know, we were having some, you know, delays. And so we said, okay, the next day it's going to be, you know, February 14th because nothing says I love you like what. Anyway.
Sure, sure.
And we just really, and the producer of the video just said, we thought a needle in the haystack, maybe a few thousand in maybe like a month or so. And right. within like a week, it was like almost $500,000. I was like, okay.
I got to tell you, I think the reason is because people have never witnessed a more gay video in their entire lives, I'm guessing. Because that's what drew us to it originally.
Okay.
We were fascinated by that.
And so people just started sending it to their friends, and the next thing you know, you got a worldwide sensation. Now, is there a record? I mean, I see on your MySpace page that people can listen to the song, What in the Butt, some of your other songs we'll mention in a moment, but is there can people buy it somewhere?
Yes, you can actually go on. We have a teaser CD, which are three songs. We're going to be featured on the CD called The Experience That Is, which is going to come out in the summer of 07. We don't have the date settled out yet, but... Okay. It's coming out in summer of 07.
Well, I hope that Shoes Are On Fire is on that disc.
Yes, it is.
Shoes Are On Fire. What about Knees Got Dirty?
No, that's going to be actually on the CD.
That's going to be on the full length.
Yes.
I got you. Hey, speaking of full length, what was your, when you went to make this video, I mean, what was your vision? What were you trying to do with the video? Were you just trying to make it funny? Were you kind of poking fun at yourself? What's the magic behind it?
Because, I mean, you know, people take things so serious. They take the, you know, sex so seriously. I mean, it is serious, but it's not. You know, it's like, okay, guys. So I said, you know what? I figured the best way was to, because when you can make fun of yourself,
right.
like, and have a good time, mm-hmm. generally everybody else is like, well, then it's okay. It's funny, because it's like, it's funny, but yet it's not.
What's the cross that's on fire at the beginning? What's that about?
Okay, let me see. I've got this question about 10,000 times.
Yeah.
And it was not a, because some people think, okay, you're burning a cross. I said, it's not a cross. It's a flaming symbol. I just happen to use that symbol.
You know, that's dangerous territory for some people, though. You know, they have a different association of a cross on fire.
And of course they do. But did you check the video? I'm black, so, you know, and I'm from the South. So burning cross is not a good thing for me.
Yeah, I understand.
So the chocolate heart that's throbbing with the glossy lips and the mouth in the middle of it, what's that about?
Listen, you know people are very oral, so yeah. I figured... If you get them there, they're going to look. They're like, it's either in fascination or whatever, but they're still going to look, and they're going to pay attention.
Yeah. This Samwell video, by the way, that we're talking about, you can see. It's linked from the Kevin and Bean front page of KROQ.com if you want to see the magic of what in the butt. Now, Psycho Mike, tell Samwell about the pants your wife is making for you right now.
Samwell, my wife is making me a pair of pants similar to yours in the video that are bedazzled with the words what on each butt cheek. Is that okay with you that I want to emulate you like that?
Sure, man, go for it. if you're strong enough in yourself to go out there and wear those pants, I say by all means, do it, man, do it.
He's actually very confused sexually, so I think this may tip him.
Thanks a lot, Samwell. I appreciate it, and I want to let you know that I'll do them well. I have a very ripe, muscular rear end, and I really appreciate you giving me your okay.
That's important because you know if you don't have a you know I don't know if can I say that A word on the air?
Is it ass?
Yes.
Sure.
If you don't have the right ass, don't wear it, honey, because ooh. This won't look good.
That's good advice. Good advice from Samwell right there. Yeah. Is it true in our remaining moments here, Samwell, that you are going to be in a movie with Dustin Diamond, an actual legitimate real-life movie that's coming out?
Yes, I am. It is by the makers of who did the video, Brown Mark Films. We're going to be in a movie called Hamlet ADD. I just did like a guest starring appearance.
I see.
As a communications officer. And yes, it is coming out in the summer of 07. So yes, that is true. That is happening.
In your wildest dreams, where do you see yourself ending up in this Hollywood career?
In my wildest dreams, I want to have a record deal. Nice.
You what? You want to have a record deal?
I do not. No.
That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to have a record deal and be a concert performer and be out on the road and be in movies and just do it all. You want to be the next Beyonce?
No, I want to be the gay version of Madonna. Get it straight.
Gay version of Madonna. Okay.
Gay version
of Madonna.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, it's the best 3 minutes you'll spend all week if you check out the video for What in the Butt. I mean, it's magic.
Are you getting a lot of requests for the What in the Butt karaoke MP3 download?
You know what? I think it's after today. I'm probably sure I will.
Okay.
But because I think a lot of people don't, you know, they're like, because I think a lot of people were thinking, is this real?
Right.
You know, is this a real entity? Yes, it is. I'm speaking to you on the air. It is real.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out because on YouTube, you never know.
That's right. I mean, a lot of actors play characters.
And yeah, there was a level of, anonymity that I was trying to have, but I guess that's pretty much out the door right now.
Dude, when you have what on one cheek and one on the other cheek,
you give up your anonymity.
You get noticed.
That's a way of saying, hey, world, check me out, right. Is what that is. All right, you can see the video through the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. You can check out Samuel on the MySpace. It's S-A-M-W-E-L-L or SamuelMusic.com. I'm very pleased that we got to be your first radio interview, Samuel. I hope we get to do it again soon.
I sincerely hope so, too. It was my pleasure.
Right, now, when you're a big star, you're going to come back on our program, right?
Oh, for sure.
All right.
For sure. And one more thing.
Yes.
Because in the meantime, my next video that I want to put out is Shoes on Fire.
Shoes on Fire, okay.
Some quick comedic skits just in the meantime because I got to work out getting the video made. And, you know, so the skit should be out probably April.
So you're putting comedy skits online now.
Oh, yeah.
In place of a video for Shoes on Fire.
No. This is in addition to.
Okay, in addition to. Okay.
All right. Well, I got to give the people tidbits. You know, I got to throw that out for them.
He does it all.
I love the fact that you're doing these videos. You're like the new R. Kelly, except without peeing on the girls. Okay. All right, Sam. Well, thank you, man. You go, girl.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
You disgusted him, Bean.
I'm sorry.
You disgusted him.
I'm sorry.
You know, when you grow up, you kind of, in your mind, you take for granted that this is the way the world works. People who know what they're doing lead.
Right.
And people who don't know what they're doing follow. And that's so not the case in so many places around the country, North Korea
like
being
ours.
One of them. A lot of people think ours. The Thai prime minister is my favorite example because you guys remember he's the guy with the buzzer and the not constructive at the press conferences?
Oh,
yes, he's the one who refused to answer any questions from the press. And then he turned and tried to get out of the room and the doors were locked.
No, that was President Bush.
Oh, that was President Bush. Okay, well, what's the Thai guy do?
This guy says that if a question is, quote, not constructive, according to him, in other words, not a positive reinforcing question, then he has a buzzer and he buzzes them and says, not constructive, and he won't answer their question.
He brings his own props to the press conference.
Yes. And now he's taking it a step further. And wait till you hear this. We actually have him on the line. Is this Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra?
Yes, it is. What do you want?
Thank you for taking our call this morning. We appreciate it.
Not constructive.
All we were saying was thank you for speaking with us.
Not constructive.
How is that?
Okay. We read an article in the Associated Press.
Yes.
That says.
He's got his finger on the button.
So far, so good.
Now, this is the Associated Press. Here in America, this is considered, accurate reporting. It's not considered gossip, okay? Said that you will not answer reporters' questions at all until next year. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Not one question.
Ten of money's one, Bob.
You're not playing a game show right now, Mr. Prime Minister.
My bad.
So you're not going to answer any questions until next year. And the reason is, according to the Associated Press, because the alignment of the planets is not in your favor.
That's right. Not right now. Mercury is no good.
Okay.
And Mercury no good, I'm no good. I'm not speak to you.
But you can't make decisions on how to run a country based on astrology, can you?
Not constructive.
How is that helpful to the people of your country?
Not constructive. I'm not giving an interview. My planet's up by Uranus.
No, it's Mercury.
My Mercury's in Uranus.
I don't even think that's possible.
Okay. Apparently, Mercury is in a corner perfectly aligned with your star, whatever the hell that is.
I hate that when that happens.
And so you're using that. Is this just an excuse to not have to answer questions from the press?
Not constructive.
Are you trying to dodge...
not constructive.
Publisher Sandy Litham Cull?
Yes! That was good.
He's alleging that your sister has used military planes to fly guests to her birthday and housewarming party in northern Turkey. I mean, Thailand.
My sister has used a lot of military for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
She did a whole platoon once.
Is that right?
She a bit of a whore.
So you're not dodging that question.
No, everybody knows she a whore.
I see. Okay.
I see. Okay.
Not constructive.
Okay.
Your critics say that basically you're trying to restrict press freedoms. In other words, you don't want any questions that could be perceived as being critical to the way you're running the country. And that's why you do it.
I'd love to answer that, but my planet is not in the right house.
In the right house?
For that.
What happens after your planets line up, okay, after the first of the year?
Oh,
what
it's a big party. We all celebrate. Woohoo!
Okay, but then do you come up with another lame excuse as to why you can't answer questions?
Not constructive.
Can you explain to us how...
Not constructive.
Can you explain...
Not...
How... Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, party people. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. They will return Monday morning, however, with a brand new show. In the meantime, I'm here bringing you all the latest and greatest in entertainment news at 8:03 in the a.m. here at K-Rock 106.7 FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. But before I get to the Showbiz news, I'd like to give away some more tickets to Grindhouse. Not just tickets to the movie, but to the red carpet world premiere of the movie. This is the double feature featuring films from Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. You've got Planet Terror from Robert Rodriguez. It's sort of a zombie thriller. And then you've got Death Proof from Quentin Tarantino. Two films I cannot wait to see back to back with trailers in between. It's like watching an old school double feature in a theater back in the 70s. That's how the guys planned it. And it comes out on April the 6th. However, we've got tickets to the red carpet world premiere, which happens Monday night downtown at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Los Angeles. I've got one pair of tickets. If you'd like to go, I want to play a little trivia game with you. I will play a clip from a Quentin Tarantino film. All you need to do is identify what movie that is and be the first caller at 1-800-520-1067. If you get through and you're the first caller who can identify that movie, you get a pair of tickets to go to the red carpet world premiere on Monday night. I'm just going to play it once, so listen up.
Come on, throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
There you go. Here's your clip. Identify the movie. 1-800-520-1067. Anna Nicole Smith is still dead. However, the National Enquirer says they have solved the mystery of her death. This story is coming out days before we've had the official report released from the medical examiner, and they say this is what happened. Before Anna left from Florida to the Bahamas, she got some sort of injection in her ass. Apparently, the needle was unsterilized, and this caused an infection in her left ass cheek, which caused an abscess, which then aggressively progressed into a blood disorder. And she was very sick from that. However, they said that's not what killed her. Apparently, what killed her was not the blood infection, but an overdose of a sleeping medication called chloral hydrate. Now, here's the thing. It is sometimes prescribed as a sleep medication and sometimes used as knockout drops. So they're not sure how she ingested it, but apparently it was a toxic level. Either she took it herself or someone gave it to her. This is what actually caused her death. It caused a depression of her respiration, and she passed away. So this, of course, all according to the National Enquirer.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We have a winner already?
Yeah, it's Alma from North Hollywood.
Alma?
Hello.
Hello. What movie did I just play?
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, that's a great one. Quentin's first big breakthrough film. Stick on the line. We're going to give you tickets to see the world premiere of Grindhouse.
Yay!
Thanks, Alma. She's happy. And last night, I wish I'd been on campus at Cal State Northridge. Apparently, Mel Gibson was there talking about his film Apocalypto. He was appearing in front of a film class to speak about his movies, and he did a presentation, and a lot of people were talking about Apocalypto, and there were members of the Mayan community who came to hear what Mel had to say. I didn't know the Mayans were still around, but apparently some of their community did show up last night and started to ask questions about his portrayal of Mayans in the film. Alicia Estrada, an assistant professor of Central American Studies at Cal State Northridge, apparently challenged Gibson, asking him if he had read about the Mayan culture before shooting the controversial film. Mel said he had. She persisted in saying that his representations in the movie, the Mayans engaging in sacrificial ceremonies and bloodthirsty tendencies, were wrong and racist, and that's when, according to witnesses, Mel blew his stack. Gibson exploded in anger, says this report, responding, "Lady, F off." Apparently, he became extremely angry when other members of the Mayan community protested and how they portrayed in the film. It went back and forth until the Mayans were escorted out of the room and killed. No, I'm kidding. Gibson apparently screamed a parting shot at them as they were leaving, "Make your own movie." Good times at the Cal State Northridge last night. Sounds like somebody needs a drink.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mel needs some
anger management classes.
I know we've got folks from Northridge who listen to the show. So if you happen to be at this presentation last night, at Mel Gibson's presentation in the film class, I'd love to hear a firsthand account of what happened. Give me a call, will you? 1-800-520-1067.
And we'll talk about it. Maybe talk about it in the next Showbiz Beat. I appreciate it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kerry Russell played Felicity on Felicity. She's 31 years old today. And Damon Albarn. He is the singer-keyboardist for the Gorillaz. He's 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll be back giving out more tickets to the world premiere of Grindhouse at the top of the hour. Until then, I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of times, the way we pick things to do on the air is it takes up all of our time off the air. We argue. We figure, well, let's settle it once and for all. Let's take it on the air, take calls, and figure out if Uncrustables are actually better or worse than regular peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Is this civil war at the Kevin Bean Show or just sectarian violence? You got to tell me what the distinction is here.
There is no distinction. It's civil war and sectarian violence.
It's ridiculous. Okay.
Here's the thing. Lisa, stay out of this. If you don't know what you're talking about, stay out of it.
Woman.
We have a topic that has been splitting us right down the middle, and we are in danger of killing each other. And so we need to actually bring this onto the air and get it over with and get it out.
Get it settled,
Hard times behind the scenes at the Kevin and Bean Show this week, ladies and gentlemen. I know it seems like one big happy family. You tune in and get some yucks while you hear the show in the morning, but I'm telling you, it is practically hair-pulling in the hallways.
After the show, in the office, it is screaming and yelling and throwing things, and it's getting ugly.
It's because Dave's so wrong. That's
and that's
why.
Because Dave, the King of Mexico, and Omar are both...
What the hell is wrong with you guys?
The most wrong people on the planet. Now, here's what we're arguing about. Uncrustables, which are good.
No. The best.
If you don't mind, I'd like to present the case first.
Jesus.
Uncrustable, for those of you that don't know, you can get them in the freezer section at your store, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they are pre-prepared peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
With no crust.
With no crust.
Uncrustables.
So you take them out.
Hey. If you're going to present it, don't mock it, dude.
Good point. You have to be objective.
Right, you present the Uncrustables.
No, you're doing a good job.
All right, you have to take them out and thaw them out. For like 30 minutes before you can enjoy it.
Misconception!
Like, hold on.
I got this one, Omar. This is a misconception.
Hold on, let me finish. And the argument is that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches made by hand with fresh peanut butter, fresh jelly, and fresh bread, our argument is better than Uncrustables. Their argument is no way the Uncrustables beat even a handmade fresh peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Ha!
Okay, I want to hear about the half hour thawing thing.
Yeah.
Dave is arguing that.
You do have to thaw them, right?
Right.
But when you buy them from the store, they're in the frozen section. But once you buy them, you take them out, drive home, put them in your fridge, they're thawed by the time you even get to them.
And once you
by the way, untrue. It clearly states
in
the box.
It's way true.
Have you
frozen?
Do you buy these on a regular basis?
Yes, my wife eats them daily.
Okay, then
you know
thaw in like 20 minutes.
20 to 30 minutes.
Okay, fine.
Oh, 20 minutes. That's so much less.
Listen to me.
Here's
listen
the thing. It takes
whatever. It's no big deal. You don't have to wash any dishes. You prepare your little dumb sandwich.
And then what the hell's like for a week?
Okay. You make your damn sandwich. What's the worst part of this damn sandwich? The crust. The crust blows. You don't want the crust.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Not if you use fresh bread. It's not bad. It's not like
and
it's
some
hard.
Of us enjoy crust, you idiot. Listen to me.
I don't
listen
care what
me.
You enjoy.
Listen to me. You've had your point. Let me make my point here. This is not just about Uncrustables. To me, it angers me because it's symbolic of what is the downfall of our society.
Wow.
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich in and of itself is convenience food. It's something you eat when you don't have time
what
to make
real food.
What
is more convenient than reaching over, picking up one of these, opening a goddamn bag, and oh, check it out. You're still making your sandwich. You're still opening your... I'm enjoying peanut butter and jelly goodness right now, man.
Where's your sandwich?
How much more convenience do you need from making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It's like saying, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette, but, you know, I just don't have time to make that type of commitment. I'm just going to chew some Nicorette instead. It's right there. It's nicotine. It's prepackaged.
What does it take a minute to make a sandwich? Maybe?
That's not the same thing. It is the same thing. You want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. A cigarette and a piece of gum is not the same thing. You what? And a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a prepackaged hockey puck in your freezer with crap stuffed in it is not the same thing either.
These are the same ingredients. It's more convenient. Are you eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
You also don't get the option to choose whatever peanut butter and jelly you want to make. Sometimes sometimes I want almond butter with a little bit of raspberry. Maybe I'll mix it up and get myself a little bit of clove freshened peanut butter.
Gourmet douche.
You're right.
I am. Dude, it's peanut butter and jelly.
Hold on, everybody. Just for a second.
Kevin, how about a 12-second musical interlude while the crew calms down?
Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter
I'm about to break out the baseball bat, people.
Sure.
Now, I got really angry. Here's the deal, yeah. Here's the deal. We all like Uncrustables. I mean, I think we all do. Do you?
They taste good.
Yeah. Oh, they're delicious.
Mm. They're good. But real is better. That's the
our side.
Well, what I like is
pre-packaged. Yes, Lisa.
There's too much jelly in there for me.
It's pre-made. You don't get the choice.
I like to choose how much of peanut butter and how much of jelly I like.
Sometimes you're just not
Lisa likes jelly.
Sometimes you're not in the mood for too much peanut butter. Sometimes you want a little bit more sweet. Sometimes you want to overdo it with the peanut butter because you're like, you know what? I'm in the mood for some rich flavor.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm sorry.
It's not a peanut butter and jelly. It's a weak ass ripoff.
How many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches have you had this morning?
None.
Well, me and Omar already had one.
Hey, Dave.
I don't want any.
Hey, Dave, he couldn't have made one in this amount of time?
No.
What's wrong with you?
By the way,
there's no ingredients to something that takes 30 minutes to make.
If you don't want any, what the hell are you doing arguing this?
All right, you shut up, Omar. I think I hate you more than ever.
There's no convenience to something that takes 30 minutes to make, by the way. It's ridiculous.
It doesn't take 30
minutes. The phone lines are jammed.
We have to keep moving.
Miserable, lazy, couch potato.
How lazy can you be?
Disgusting pigs.
Yeah. Directions. Keep frozen until ready to eat. Number two, thaw 30 to 60 minutes. At room temperature, 30 minutes to an hour.
Pretty convenient right there.
And number three, eat within 8 hours of defrosting for best flavor. Now, I'm fine with Uncrustables. I think they taste good. If you don't have the option of making a real sandwich, those are fantastic. If you do have the option, you lose. Those
are
worse.
They're a little pricey.
How much are they for a box?
Well, a box is $3.49.
$3.49 for four little kind of half sandwiches.
That's nothing.
Right. Now Alex went out and
money bags.
Alex went out and bought all the stuff to make your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for $10.48, and I was figuring out how many sandwiches you could make.
Right.
And it's like 40.
Paying more for an admittedly inferior product. Great job,
guys.
Way. Good for you. Keep
this
it up.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous Kiruk. If you haven't figured it out, it's Uncrustables versus the real PB&J. Let's do one email from KROQ listener Gavel. Although Uncrustables are a very convenient and nutritious treat, homemade PB&J sandwiches are now and forever and will always be superior to Uncrustables.
That's
come on, common
about.
Sense dictates that anything made with love and by hand is superior to a machine robot made product. My decision is final, is what he says.
Wow, well, if his decision is final.
His name's Gavel, dude.
Let's take some calls. We'll start with Dennis. He's in Chino. What do you think? Uncrustables versus real homemade PB&J. What do you think?
Real homemade PB&J.
And how come?
With the Uncrustables, you either have not enough jelly. I have three boys at home. And one wants more peanut butter. The other one wants more jelly. And my wife bought a press last week that gets the crust out and pinches the edges. You know, that bottle cap pinch that it has on the side.
Yeah, that the Uncrustables has.
Okay, so you're paying more to make Uncrustables.
Yeah, come
Good
on.
Job.
That costs a lot of money.
So you're saying you get your choice of flavors and everything else with it.
You get your choice of flavors, right. How much jelly, how much peanut butter.
What right. more flavor do you want? Grape, strawberry. Those are the two
yeah,
main
but
ones.
Sometimes in an Uncrustable, one overdoes the other, and you don't want that, Dave. Do you understand that?
What are you talking about?
Some of us do not want diabetes. We're against it.
Javier in West Covina, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
PB&J, hands down. This is the most ridiculous argument I've heard in my life.
Thank you.
That jelly that comes in those whatever the hell you call them.
Uncrustables.
Disc of death.
How dare
the
you?
It's the horrible jelly I've ever had in my life. It's like batteries coming out of a raccoon's crap.
Yes. But at least you have to wait 30 to 60 minutes to get it.
It's the same jelly that you buy in the stores.
Not true.
It's Smuckers.
It's not the premium Smuckers. It's the whack-ass Smuckers. That's how they do it.
What are you talking about the whack-ass?
How do you know it's
were
the
you
whack-ass?
The
yeah, did you make it? Maybe I've seen some, you know, underground documents that you don't know about.
Shut up, dude.
This is not,
all
right, hold on, Mike.
This is not like a TV dinner where you're taking steak and potatoes, something that would, if you were to make it on your own, take a lot of time and effort to make, and you're putting it into a convenient prepackaged thing. This is peanut butter and jelly, something in and of itself which was already convenient and easy to make.
Does it
it's
take,
like the bottom line,
time and effort?
Bottom line bachelor food. How much more convenience do you need? Why don't you just get an IV drip of peanut butter and jelly and stick it in your goddamn arm
and just have
it drip into your veins all day long? It's easy. It's convenient. It's convenient. I don't have to do nothing. It's IV drip of peanut butter jelly in my arm.
Look, all I'm saying is when I'm over your place and we both want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'll just take Jenny's out of the fridge, eat it, and you're making yours, and I'm done. Boom.
Yeah, Dave, that can take an hour to make your own.
Yes. Doesn't matter. By the time he takes the ingredients out, I'm done.
Mike is right when he says the steak and the other, you know, if it takes you a long time to prepare, it does make sense
it's
for convenience
steak.
Sake. But I'm saying for convenience sake, you don't need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich handmade is not all that inconvenient, people.
Okay.
How lazy are you?
It's not about it's about convenience. It's about saving
time. How lazy are you?
How late are you every morning? If you wanted a freaking peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you wanted to get to work on time, if you really were hungry, are you going to stop and make a 2 minute, half a minute sandwich, whatever
yes.
it is?
Yes.
Are you going to start to be late?
Yes.
Or would you rather just grab one of these and be on time?
And have an inferior sandwich?
No,
inferior
sandwich.
I'd make my own.
Are you going to get pre-chewed gum too?
Hey guys. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Pre-chewed
guys.
Gum.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh,
we need to taste test.
We didn't do our taste test.
Jessica, Uncrustables, they are cheaper than buying all the rest, which we already figured out is not true.
No.
Andrea says, neither. I make peanut butter and jelly burritos.
Oh, those are so good, too, though, by the way.
That is strong.
That is strong. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. Matt in Norwalk says, handmade, but he sells Uncrustable and can never keep them on the shelves because they sell so much. Myra says, handmade, how hard is it to cut off your own crust? Mike says, Border Patrol agents feed illegal aliens Uncrustables.
See, they have the world.
Is that about for or against?
I don't know.
That must be where Dave got the taste for it, though.
It's Friday morning. That means we've got a whole new slate of movies in the theaters, and here's Ralph to tell you about it.
What a weekend of the movies. 17 new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. So you got a lot to choose from. Will any of these be able to topple 300 from the top of the box office charts? We'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at some of the movies. There's some small, interesting films, some big budget, blockbusting, action adventure kind of films. Something for the kids, something for the family. So let's take a look at some of them. Color Me Kubrick opens up this edition of the Movie Beat. It is a very interesting story about a con man who, back in the late 1990s, used to pass himself off as the reclusive director Stanley Kubrick, just to fool people into thinking that he was Stanley Kubrick. And it's a fascinating story. John Malkovich stars in this, so I'm definitely going to be checking that out this weekend. Also, opening up this weekend, The Hills Have Eyes 2. Yes, they're back. Those mutant, irradiated, cannibal desert dwellers after devouring a family on vacation in the first film. Now they take on the National Guard. National Guard actually stumbles into their lair, and oh, boy, do they regret that. Here's a little clip from The Hills Have Eyes 2.
I just want to get everyone out of here.
Yeah? Well, don't let the Mickey and Spitter and Craig.
Shut the hell up.
We trust that guy.
He hid us from them. He didn't give us up.
We don't have any choice. We have to trust him. God knows where he's taking us.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure God knows anything about this place.
Yeah, because they're mutants eating us, man. National Guard's got to be pissed about that movie. Bunch of people living in the desert are kicking their ass.
Yeah.
Also opening up this weekend, The Last Mimsy. I have no idea what a Mimsy is, but apparently there's only one left, and this movie's about it. It is some kids find a toy box filled with toys from the future. And as they play with them, they get smarter, and then bizarre things start to happen in The Last Mimsy. It stars Rainn Wilson from The Office, also Jolie Richardson. In this scene, Rainn Wilson is talking to Jolie Richardson, who plays his wife, and he's showing her the amazing drawings that her... Not they're not husband and wife, I'm sorry. Rainn Wilson is showing Jolie Richardson the amazing drawings that her son has made after the Mimsy starts to take its effect.
When I saw Noah's drawings, they really struck a chord, no, especially this one, which is particularly rare.
Yeah, this is actually an astrological configuration. The book says it's a map to the past and future. In Tibet, they believe that there are extraordinary children with this very special knowledge and abilities, very gifted, like Noah.
Oh, Noah's got the magic Mimsy.
Mimsy!
Outstanding.
Is that good?
Apparently it's supposed to be real good for the kids, yeah. So maybe Lightning will take his kids to see that this weekend. Memory also opens this weekend. Billy Zane starts as a doctor who finds a substance that unlocks genetic memories in the brain. It turns out his are those of a murderer. Ah! Trisha Helfer also stars, you know I love her. She's from Battlestar Galactica, plays Caprica 6 on that show. You can check that out this weekend. Pride opens this weekend.
That's what I'm going to go see.
Based on the true story of a high school teacher played by Terrence Howard in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my hometown, who starts an African-American swim team in the 1970s. Here's a little clip from Pride. This is Terrence Howard giving an inspirational speech to his African-American swim team.
Pride, determination, and resilience. That's what's brought all these people together. You've given them something to believe in. Because this is our community. This is our house. And it's built on pride, determination, and resilience.
I still think they should have gone with the first working title, Black Guys Can't Swim, but what do I know? Rain Over Me opens this weekend. Adam Sandler and Don Cheadle plays former college roommates. Sandler's character has lost his family in the disaster during 9/11, and they reunite. He refuses to deal with those issues, and Don Cheadle helps him get his way through it. Here's Adam Sandler talking to a shrink, and he decides not to talk so much about his family that he lost in that disaster.
I'm glad you came in. Even though you were mad at me.
Yeah, I am too.
Can I say something, Charlie?
Yeah.
There's no point in you coming here every week if we eventually don't discuss your life and discuss your family.
Is this session over yet?
No, it just started.
Can it be?
See? It's Adam Sandler doing a serious role.
I don't want to talk about my family. Oh, they all died.
Yeah. Enjoy that, won't you?
Is Rob Schneider in this one?
Sadly, he's not. I don't know how Sandler made a movie without Schneider, but apparently he's capable of it once in a while. Shooter opens this weekend. Mark Wahlberg plays a former Army sniper who gets double-crossed. He gets sucked into believing he's saving the president for an assassination attempt, and then he is framed for the very same crime. Danny Glover also co-stars. Here's a scene from the film. After the president gets shot, Marky Mark gets shot too, but he gets away. And then he runs into an FBI agent. And then they take his keys and his car away. It's very exciting.
How could you miss?
30 seconds clear out. Chase him down. He's bleeding. Kill him.
Hey, stop it.
FBI, put your hands up.
Please. Give me your keys. I didn't shoot the president. Simmons was a setup.
Help! FBI! Took my weapon in my car.
See? He's Swagger. That's his character's name. John Swagger. Who's the shooter. So that looks like a good time if you're not looking for something too cerebral. What Love is a romantic comedy starring Cuba Gooding Jr. He plays a man who finds out what love is one night in the course of his lifetime. Gina Gershon, Anne Heche, Matthew Lillard, and Sean Astin also star in this film. And lastly, TMNT, mother effer. It's the return of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Hey!
After 14 years being gone from theaters, we finally get them back, and I could not be more excited. Here in this scene, the Turtles find out that Max Winters, their evil arch enemy, is amassing an army of ancient monsters to take over the world.
Well, according to these star charts, the portal is set to open directly over Winter's Tower in the next 24 hours.
So the legend is right. 3,000 years.
And when the portal opens, we'll lose the city to monsters within hours. Within days, the country. And within weeks, the world.
Oh, they got to take on Shredder in this. And, God, I hope April's hot. I love hot April. That's for the kids this weekend. As you can tell, there's a lot to choose from. Good luck figuring out the crap from the gold. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut. That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
You know, you'd think that everybody has a digital camera these days, but in fact, there are still people taking their film in, and sometimes it doesn't go the way they hoped.
All right, let's talk about pictures for a minute. This may be the last chance that we'll get to talk about this because with the digital cameras coming around and the opportunity for you to print those pictures at home, things are changing a bit. Used to be you took pictures that you had to take in to get the film developed.
Right.
And then people would take the nude pictures or the topless pictures, and then the people that would develop them would keep their own little notebook.
Sure.
Of these wonderful, wonderful pictures.
You remember a number of years ago now, Kevin and I went to a photo lab to see how it works, to find out what it was like to do their job for a day. And they told us not only did they have a book under the counter with copies of every nude picture that had ever come through the door, but so did everyone at every photo lab across America. And by the way, not just nude, but just crazy stuff that people do. You know, crazy stuff that happens when people are drunk or just bizarre stuff. You can't even understand how that picture was taken.
Here's an email. Hey, Kevin, I listen to your show every day. When you guys brought up the topic of working for a camera store, I had to drop you an email. I worked at Ritz Camera for 1 year, and there were so many ugly, disgusting pictures that we kept them in a box for laughs. There was this one guy who was a regular who actually asked me if I was turned on by the pictures of him nude. And... if I would like to join in on the pictures.
No.
Oh, no.
And so she goes on to say, no, I did not join in on those pictures.
Well, you know, it's weird because I've never worked at a photo lab, but I certainly would, and I do it for free just for the opportunity to see these pictures. But you remember the one-hour photo movie with Robin Williams playing the creepy guy who develops pictures and then starts becoming obsessed with the family because you have access to every, you know, kind of private moment of that family, all the pictures that they take of birthdays and holidays and everything. And he felt like he had become a member of the family because he knew them so well through their photos.
Hey, guys, I was listening this morning, as I do, during my very long, sucky, traffic-filled morning commute, and heard that you were going to do a segment on one-hour photo labs tomorrow. According to your intro, it was supposed to be about all the juicy pics that come through and what the lab employees do with them. You may want to ask the people that call in how long ago they worked at the lab, if they currently work, and who they work for, because today's privacy laws have changed. In a lab, if a lab tech was to get caught copying pics or even showing them or discussing them with somebody else, they could get popped with heavy fines or even lose their job.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they're cracking down on this kind of thing.
Okay, but they still have to look at them to adjust for color and stuff, right?
Of course.
And them, right.
You still are going to have your naked pictures looked at by somebody.
Well, and a lot of these people have worked at these stores for a long time. I'll give you a perfect example. I go to the Longs by my house, and I used to take my film there to get developed. And they've got that gigantic drawer full of pictures that you just have to go in and look for yours.
Yeah, Costco's the same way.
Yeah, and you don't ask anyone. You just go look for yours, and if they're there, you take them, and if not, whatever. But people, you would see people sitting there looking at their pictures to kind of make sure that they were all there or whatever, that they came out nicely. Sure. And it occurred to me that nobody was there helping them or making sure that they were looking at their own pictures. So I thought, well, if that's the case, then I could just go in and start going through other people's pictures to look for nudity. And the worst thing that possibly could have happened. And that is that I saw a girl topless in the first roll of pictures that I found.
Oh, no.
Oh, so now you're hooked.
Now he's there for hours a day.
I pulled out somebody else's pictures, and I started going through. I was like, she took this, a boyfriend or somebody took pictures of her topless. This is awesome.
And it had been developed at a Long's drugstore.
Yes.
Well, what else are you going
to
do?
And I was looking around at Long's to see if anybody was watching me. I was like, this is so great. I'm going to start looking through everybody's pictures. And, of course, there were no more after that. I could not find anybody else's that had any.
But you looked at so many boring kids' birthday parties, didn't you?
Just trying to find that next one of nudity.
You know, when I was working, it's been a few months now, but when I was working at the Abu Ghraib prison, some friends of mine and I, what we did is we put the prisoners in a naked pyramid.
I don't think that was you.
It was so awesome. And everything was going great. It was so much fun. And then we sent them off to the Iraqi one-hour photo, and oh, did they make copies.
Oh, did hell break loose.
Yes, it did.
All right, Pearl in Anaheim. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Pearl.
Hey, Pearl, you're working for a photo lab for a while, were you?
Yep, it was an awesome job. I saw some of the craziest things ever.
Why do you think people took the kind of pictures that they took that you ended up laughing at?
You know what? I'm not sure, but the thing is, you know how you can do one-hour photo, or you can, like, drop it in the bin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you drop it in the bin, nobody sees them because it's an automated machine, but stupid people gave them to us.
You mean if people hand them to you physically, then you have to do them?
Right, but if they drop it in the one that takes like 2 or 3 days or whatever, then it's done through a machine because it's sent to a high volume company.
Well, what kind of crazy stuff did you see?
My favorite one was probably a naked man. You could tell they're just taking pictures and they were drunk, and he ended up in his driveway on a unicycle.
A naked man on a unicycle.
Uh-huh.
I hope it had a bike seat. Yes, okay.
And he still managed to stay on the unicycle and hold his beer.
Oh, look at that.
Funny.
And he wasn't using his hands either. That's the amazing thing. All right, thank you for the call, Pearl.
No problem.
Bye now. All right, let's go to Ron in Los Angeles. Good morning, Ron.
Hi, good morning.
You worked in a lab.
Hi, Ron.
Worked in a lab near UCLA.
Right.
And what kind of stuff did you see?
It's we get high seasons and low seasons of drunken orgy parties.
Oh, nice.
Friends and sororities. Usually around the end of quarters and beginning of quarters, that's when they start the partying.
Right.
It's great working next to colleges. And my store manager used to have an album. Well, we couldn't have an album because the way it was set up, it was pretty obvious that other people could see. So what he would do, he would take one of the envelopes where the customers would pick up their photos, but he would make a bogus name so no one would pick it up, and he'd just store all the photos there in private.
Smart. Oh, I gotcha.
Hey, these sorority girl parties, I mean, totally just like naked pillow fights and stuff like that, I imagine?
Pretty much. piles of bodies everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of them topless. That's all good. Angela from Sun Valley, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Tell us about your pictures and what happened to them.
Actually, I took them in to get developed. I went there at lunchtime.
What were they?
There were somewhat nude photos, topless photos, some girls making out.
Fantastic.
Just God bless them. You know, girls' nice. Day out.
Just sure. a regular Saturday night at Lisa May's house.
Absolutely.
We got it.
Absolutely.
Right. So I took them in and went to pick them up that evening, and they didn't have my photos. They said, oh, we have no idea where they are. They looked everywhere for them.
We don't know what you're talking about.
They disappeared.
Did you drop photos off? Oh, that's too bad. We can't find them.
Exactly. So they said, come back the next day and talk to the person that you gave them to. Did that. She said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have them anywhere.
Awesome.
You know, called this number. That did nothing. So
that's so great.
I have photos out there.
Somebody is looking at them right now, and you are in one of those books.
Yes.
The people keep them in. All right, hold on, Angela. Thank you.
Let's give her an extra small T-shirt. Put her on hold.
Let's go to Beverly in Whittier. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Beverly.
I'm very worried about your phone call.
Oh, don't be worried.
Okay.
I no longer work for the company, so I'm not worried.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I used to work for a company that would do the three-day bin drop-off,
mm-hmm.
and we would pick up from certain stores. And one day, my friend and I, we were working at customer service, and she said, you got to look at these pictures. I said, okay. Well, here's Grandma in front of a nice trailer home.
Did you say Grandma?
Yes, Grandma.
Oh, no.
And then we go through the photos. She's on a Harley in her leather with nothing in the bottom.
Grandma is on a Harley with an assless chaps.
Yeah, and spread eagle.
Oh, no. Spread eagle.
After 5 years, it still haunts me.
Oh, no.
I didn't even see the photo, and I'm going to be haunted by it.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Hey, party people. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. Don't worry, the boys will be back Monday with a brand new show. In the meanwhile, I'm still here giving you the latest in entertainment news. Before I get to our big breaking story with our eyewitness report, I want to give away my final pair of tickets to the world premiere of Grindhouse, brand new motion picture. It's a double feature, Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof and Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror back-to-back. Just like they used to do in the old school movie theaters back in the 70s. It is hitting theaters April the 6th. However, you can see it if you know the answer to my trivia question. Monday, March 26th at the Grindhouse Red Carpet World Premiere down at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles. I'm going to play you a clip from a Quentin Tarantino movie. You just have to identify it and be the first caller at 1-800-520-1067. If you get through to Dave, the King of Mexico, and wake him up and give him the right answer, you'll win a pair of tickets. So listen closely. I'm just going to play it once. Here is your mystery film clip.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you? For a second there? Yeah, I kind of did.
There you go. What's the movie? Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Okay, let's talk about this breaking story. I told you over an hour ago about Mel Gibson exploding in anger on the campus of Cal State Northridge last night. TMZ.com has been following the story as well. They've got some great photographs. It's funny, over at the Ryan Cheesecrest show, Ellen Kay's been saying she's breaking the story, which is funny because I did it over an hour ago, and she's just a big fat liar. But we are the only station in all of Los Angeles with an eyewitness account of the event. I've got on the phone with me Lauren Rupson. Lauren is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Sundial, which is the newspaper there at Cal State Northridge. Lauren, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You were covering this event last night, and all hell broke loose, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, what was the event itself, Lauren? He was at a film class?
Yeah, it was a film class. They showed Apocalypto, and then he came in about an hour into it, and...
Hold a second.
I can't say that.
The poop hit the fan is what you're meaning
exactly.
to say. Exactly, yeah. Watch a little Miss Potty Mouth.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I will.
Now, an assistant professor, apparently, of Central American Studies at Northridge, she was the first one that sparked things off?
Yes, definitely. She basically said that he hadn't done his research. She listed a few authors that he should read, and he said, I know who those guys are. I read Diego something. He said he was an effing eyewitness lady. And then a friend of hers started speaking, I think in Mayan, but I don't really know for sure.
Okay.
And people were yelling. They started turning off the guy's mic. The guy was speaking. Mel asked for a translation because he said otherwise this is pointless.
Right.
And so they kept on turning up the microphone, and she said that in doing that, they're basically silencing Mayans, which is apparently what they've been doing for centuries.
Hmm.
And let's see.
Now, apparently, they were accusing him of racist depictions of the Mayan culture in his film Apocalypto, right?
Yeah, in terms of how they showed torture, that kind of thing.
They were saying that they weren't, they didn't have human sacrifices and that sort of thing, and that's what he depicted in his film.
Yeah, they said he didn't research it accurately.
And his response was apparently very volatile.
Yes, he said they used to cut people's hearts out. He said he didn't show that much of that. He said he looked at effing history and murals.
Right.
He did his stuff, lady. I did my research. And the big part came when he said, I think you're an effing troublemaker, so F off.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was the big part. And then they escorted them out.
So security escorted the protesters out of the building?
Yeah, they did. And a couple people just left on their own.
Now, TMZ.com's reporting that Mel also yelled, make your own movie to them as they were leaving. Is that true?
And then he said, it's my story, and even if I made it up, it's my story.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it, I can imagine it was a tense situation there in the room, huh?
It really was. People in the crowd were yelling. When the guy was speaking another language, they said, speak English, that kind of thing.
Oh, God.
Which was nice.
Now, what happened after they left the room? Did Gibson continue with the Q&A session, or was that pretty much it?
He did, and then at the very end, he said, I want to apologize for being crude with the Mayan people. I wish I'd been a lot more gracious with them, but they just sort of ambush you. And I wasn't sure about the they just sort of ambush you. That sounded a little weird.
Well, maybe this isn't the first time he's been accused of these sort of things.
I don't think it is, yeah.
That's funny that he flew off the handle like that, though.
It really was. It was very interesting.
Well, great, Lauren. Well, you got a good scoop there at the Daily Sundial, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Well, good for you, and thanks for talking to us on K-Rock today.
Definitely, thank you.
Bye, Lauren.
Bye.
Well, there you go. Eyewitness accounts of Mel Gibson losing his mind. Sound like those effing Mayans are effing troublemakers, if you ask me.
Yeah.
One of their civilizations dead, man.
Cutting people's hearts out.
Killing people, torturing them. Go,
Mel. We
have Mel.
A winner, believe it or not.
We have a winner for my trivia question?
We do.
Let's talk to Bill from Rancho, either Cucamonga or Santa Margarita, one of those Rancho places. Bill, where are you from?
I'm from Rancho Cucamonga.
All right, good man. What was the clip that I played from a Tarantino movie?
That's from Kill Bill 1.
That's right, Kill Bill Volume 1. Congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to go see the world premiere of Grindhouse.
That's awesome. Thanks, bro.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Woo! What a day. What a week. Kevin and Bean return Monday with a brand new Kevin and Bean show. I will be on vacation, so you'll be suffering through them giving the showbiz news. Sorry, people, but I need some sleep. I've been up for like 9 years, and yeah, I need a nap. Let me give you the celebrity birthdays before I go. Kerry Russell, Felicity from Felicity. She's 31 years old today. And Damon Albarn, who is the singer and keyboardist for Gorillaz, turns 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everybody. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very happy to be living in Southern California because that's where we can see Channel 4's Paul Moyer.
I like Kevin and Bean. I think they're funny. I think they are a kick. I think they're a lark. I know that they've mentioned me from time to time on the show, and I love it.
Paul Moyer, our buddy from Channel 4.
God bless him.
He's the best. He, I think one of the reasons that we're so obsessed with him is because he really just comes across as the type of guy who is so full of himself that he really can't believe that everybody else isn't, too.
You know what I mean? Like, very well put, yeah.
Really, really, really happy with himself and can't believe everybody else isn't.
Well, he may be the highest paid newscaster in Southern California. His newscasts are the most popular for NBC Channel 4, are the highest rated newscasts, as far as I understand, in LA. I mean, he certainly is popular. People do watch him.
Been around forever.
Yeah.
He used to work at Channel 7 with somebody named Ann Martin. Now, is Ann Martin still working in the market?
Yes.
I believe she is, yeah.
She's
really very good, too.
She is.
Very good.
Now, she used to work with Paul Moyer at Channel 7. I don't know what this tape is, but somebody sent me an MP3 file of it. In an email and said, you guys love Paul Moyer. You're going to love this. And it's Paul Moyer and Ann Martin when they were working at Channel 7. Clearly, the camera is off.
Mm-hmm. Between newscasts or something.
But I think they're getting ready to do a newscast, and they are yelling at each other, fighting. And we have the tape of it.
You know what's funny is we have asked people who work with Paul Moyer, like off record, come on, really,
what's like?
One will say anything. They're just smiling.
Oh, no, some of them do. Some of them do. Some of them say, you know, giant ego. You know,
you know what? You know what this reminds me of, this tape, and I'm so glad we're playing this because it is awesome and you will love it, is that it's like the movie Anchorman with Will Ferrell, where there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes, but then once the red light goes on, man, all of a sudden it's all love and smiles on the set. But as soon as the camera's off, these people are just at each other's throats.
Now, I think from listening to it, I think this is just about the time when Paul Moyer was going to leave Channel 7 and go to Channel 4 because he keeps making references to she wants to work with Harold Green. Well, you might just get that. That just might be what you get because, he kind of makes references to the fact, like, if you want that, that's what you're going to get because he's going to be leaving. So
be
that's
careful what you wish for.
Yes, exactly.
Baby.
Because that could be so bad for her to have to work with him because she would no longer be working with the great Paul Moyer. But listen to this tape from behind the scenes.
All the time.
It
That's
frequently
what I was told.
Is. It frequently
well,
is.
Well, then we better
Do you
talk
hear
about
me
it.
Complaining about it?
Then we better
tonight
talk about
I'm
it.
Tonight I'm complaining because tonight
then
I said
Then we better
hey,
talk about it because I think agree. You've got a problem. I think we've got a problem. All right?
And I love this, by the way, because Paul still to this day does this on the news if you watch him on Channel 4. He's always the guy hitting the table.
Uh-huh.
And he really, I hope it's his hand he's using to hit the table because it's unbelievable how much he does it.
He smacks the table through this whole thing. And I don't know what they're arguing about.
Although I would kill to know.
But they're both very unhappy. Apparently she just raised the tiniest of things and he just went off. Mm.
That's what you think. And we'll talk about it after the show.
If that's what you think, then we'll talk about it after the show. Now, what
Ow.
Could... Yeah, exactly. What could she think? That would make him that angry. Like, he gets too many of the big stories.
He hogs all the big stories, yeah.
That's kind of my thinking, is that maybe he gets too many of the big stories, and she doesn't get enough of them, and she's upset about that.
Paul, do you remember what we're talking about here?
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Okay.
All right, let's start from the beginning again, just so you can get the whole feel for this thing.
All the time.
It
That's
frequently
what I was
told. Is. It frequently
well,
is.
Well, then we better
talk
about
it. Do you hear me complaining about it?
Then we better
tonight
talk about
I'm
it.
Tonight I'm complaining, because tonight
then
I said,
Then we better
hey,
talk about it, because I think
agree.
You've got a problem. I think we've got a problem.
First he says, I think you've got a problem, and then I think we've got a problem.
All right, if that's what you think, then we'll talk about it after the show, and we'll talk about it with Roger Bell. Because I'm not going to sit here night after night and put up with this
Wow.
He's like threatening the way he's slamming
I'm
that table.
I'm not going to sit here night after night and put up with this shite. That he's like she.
This is how dare you say anything about me?
You do
that
get,
isn't positive.
You do get the feel. You get the emotion. You know they say sometimes that the music is louder than the words.
Mm-hmm.
The music in his voice is so. How dare you,
yes.
little Ann Martin, even think of questioning me, the giganto Paul? How dare you?
Okay.
Night after night. Night after night?
Well,
where,
what, it let's, looks how to my, me like that's the way it's going to go,
I'll
Ann.
Take the ante up a little higher than that, even. You're not only wrong, you're way out of line.
Now, nobody tells Paul Moyer that.
Nah.
Let me tell you something,
You
kiddo.
Started it, pal.
Let me tell you something, kiddo.
Kiddo.
Yeah. Nice.
And then she says, you started it, pal. So I can't, we're trying to figure out what they could be arguing about. It's really hard to figure it out. But he says night after night it happens. And then she says, really? Night after night? And he says, it looks like it's going to go that way. That means he's complaining about something that he thinks might possibly be a problem in the future.
Because she,
right.
And you get the feeling it's because she said
been.
It once.
Yeah.
You're not only wrong, you're way out of line.
Let me tell you something,
You
kiddo.
Started it.
Now, this is where he starts threatening here. Let me tell you something, kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
You
want
to take that gigantic step down and work with the really, really, really awful Harold Green? Then you're going to get what you wish for because and you kind of he's kind of insinuating that he's going to take the leap to Channel 4.
You want Harold Green, you might get him.
That's fine then, with then, me. Fine
oh, is
with
it really?
Me. Good old
awesome.
Harold Green.
Okay. Okay. You want to start dealing with Go ahead.
What?
That's what you want. You just might get it.
Is he stapling stuff?
No, he's just pounding the table. He's just constantly.
I got to tell you.
That's what you want. That's what you get.
What is that?
I don't know. Why is he pounding on the table like that?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Paul, what the hell is going on there?
Well, be thankful this is television and not smell-o-vision.
Oh, I didn't realize that was part
right,
of it.
Let me just back it up a little bit and
see. If you want Harold Green, you might get him.
Fine with me.
Is it really?
Good.
See, now, it's as far as she's concerned, she'd much rather work with a person who was nice to her.
Do you think that what he's saying is you're not going to be on the same news? Like, she'll have to go to a different hour of the newscast, like maybe does the 5 o'clock
maybe.
Or something, and she'll have to go there?
Maybe, but what I was interpreting it is that he's going to leave, and then Harold
well,
Green.
That could be
it
the
could
other
be
one,
either
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
But it's clearly a gigantic step down from working with Paul Moyer, and she's
well,
perfectly
yeah.
happy to do that because she doesn't want to work with Paul Moyer.
Oh, awesome. Harold Green.
Okay. Okay. You want to start dealing with Go ahead. That's what you want. You just might get it.
Stop hitting the table!
What is
You know, you go home and have a couple of shooters, and I don't know what the f*** happens, but when you come back, you're not the same lady.
That's
So that's now Paul's about. Turning it on.
All of a sudden, it's personal.
So it's not him. Paul's not doing it. Clearly, Anne's a drunk, and that's why she's even bothering to raise these concerns, right?
Can you believe him?
That's unbelievable. Because clearly, there's nothing wrong with Anne. She sounds fine. It's not like she's coming at him in a blind, drunken rage. She's just raising an issue with him.
You're right. She doesn't sound like she's crazy, out of control, or anything. She sounds like
the only one on this tape who's making any sense and has any sanity.
Let's talk to Lori in Tribuco Canyon.
Yeah.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
You met Ann Martin at a seminar?
I have. I used to work for Westin Hotels, and she is the most considerate, polite, community-oriented person, and for him to talk to her like that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
She is so sweet.
She really does come across that way, and she comes across in this particular argument as just like trying to bring up a point, and he's such a freaking bully with his voice and with his, attacking.
Well he's going to teach her. She's trying to stay calm and professional, and obviously he can't take that.
Yeah, well, especially when he goes to this part.
You know, you go home and have a couple of shooters, and I don't know what the f*** happens, but when you come back, you're not the same lady.
That's not true.
When you come back, you're not the same lady. And she calmly says that's not true.
She is the greatest person, and she was probably happy when he left.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, I think everybody was happy when he left.
Thanks for the call, Lori. We appreciate it. We'll give you a Kevin and Bean t-shirt, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Don't go away. I think there's a little bit more.
Some nights it is, man.
When news happens, you see it.
And then they start the newscast.
Oh, my God.
So that's what was leading right up until the news.
And now it's got to be, hey, Ann, great to see you. You look fantastic. Oh, thanks, Paul. It's a joy to be here.
Todd Donahoe Sports. This is Eyewitness News Tonight.
Three men dead tonight in an execution-style murder in Los.
And I wish Ann Martin was one of them.
You need somebody to take care of your truck, Bean is not your guy.
Hey, it's not my fault that that tree grew up right there where I was trying to drive, all right? I need some help, you guys, because a very bad thing happened, and I need to figure out a way to get out of it.
You went to the hospital and said, oh, I fell on the plunger. That's how it got in my ass. Is that what happened?
You guys know my manslave, Marty, whom you've heard me speak of in glowing terms.
Your friend for pay.
5 years. Yes, my friend for pay.
Yes.
This is the guy, he's a contractor, and he does a lot of work for me on the house. He's the guy who, you know, helps me build my barn, and he'll, you know, he just does, he's an odd job guy. Whatever you need, you got a leaky faucet, he's the guy who comes in. Yeah. You know, your wife needs servicing, you call Marty. I mean, this guy, he'll do it all for you, right? So for like 5 years, he and I have been really good friends. They joke that he's a friend for pay because, you know, we play
you pay him.
Because we play tennis and stuff, yeah, which is not a
paid
endeavor.
Why do you think he plays with you? Because you pay him. You continue to give him work, so he has to be nice to you.
But
don't
anyway,
act like he's your friend.
How much money would you pay for a videotape of Bean playing tennis?
Yeah, that would be pretty great.
He is a friend.
Uh-huh.
We go to ball games together.
Sure.
We've done lots of stuff together.
Uh-huh.
All right, so Marty's on vacation, okay?
All right.
So, for reasons I won't get into, he asks if he can leave his truck at my house. He's got a brand new, I mean, less than 2 weeks old Ford F-150 truck. Okay, just a beautiful, beautiful ride, right?
So he asks.
I don't think he has raised the lighting. I'm sorry. So he asks if he can leave it at my house, and I say, sure, no problem. And Marty, being the considerate guy that he is, he drops it off on the street in front of my house because he's going to the airport the butt crack of dawn, and he doesn't want to wake anybody up by pulling into the driveway. That's how kind and considerate he is, right? Uh-huh. So he leaves the keys for me under the gas cap, and he calls me when he gets to Hawaii, and he says, hey, dude, I left my car at your house. Would you mind pulling it into the driveway? So it doesn't stay out on the street for the whole time that he's gone, right?
Right.
So I pull Marty's truck, which I've never driven before, into the driveway. And as I'm going around the corner of the driveway, it's an oval-shaped driveway. As I'm going around the corner of the driveway, I guess as a guy who's used to driving a Mini Cooper, I guess maybe I misjudge how big this truck is.
No.
And I just demolish one whole side of his 13-day-old truck on shrubs and rocks and everything else that's, you know, that's around the driveway, right? Just scrape all the way up against it. I mean, it just looks like somebody with fingernails wiped it out on the side. All
Why
right?
are you an ass?
I couldn't feel any worse than I do.
Now, did it dent or it's just the paint?
I think it's just the paint. I don't think there's any damage. I think it's just the paint. It's just scraped out,
okay.
Basically, is what happened. And it's, you know, it's mostly, you know, there's some rock, but mostly it's branches from bushes and trees that just... And by the way, imagine my surprise that paint comes off that easy on a, you know, brand new paint job.
Yeah. Well, when you're scraping it against foliage, you'd be surprised what can happen.
So Marty's still in Hawaii. I've got his truck. What is the call here?
Well, didn't you immediately take it to a place that paints trucks?
Oh, I'm going to get in that truck and drive it? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, Lisa. I couldn't pull it into the driveway without hitting something. Taking that out onto the road.
Find a man who knows how to drive and have him take it to the dealership and have them fix it per specs of the factory.
You don't... Tell Marty, though, right?
No.
Really?
No. You get it fixed immediately, and you have it done perfectly, and you don't ever speak word of it again.
Because he's still on vacation in Hawaii right now.
For how long?
He comes back on Saturday. He doesn't know what's going on with his truck. And the first thing I thought is, oh, my God, I have to call and tell him what happened. And then I thought, well, I'm not going to call and tell him what happened and ruin his vacation, because that's all he's going to think about now is that some a-hole jacked up his truck while he's gone.
The cat got up on the roof, Marty.
But I'm not going to get in the car. I'm not going to get in the truck and drive it someplace. I'm not going to do that.
Why?
But you know, I mean, once you're sort of aware of how wide it is, you'll be able to
Maybe
drive
not.
It.
Bean's a tard. He's the guy who scraped his entire body along a stone wall on a moped. For
and
God
that's
sakes.
His own body.
He couldn't seem to figure that out. That I shouldn't be scraping anymore my shoulder against cement.
Okay, Donna drive it.
I was trying to stay on top of that moped, by the way. Yeah, I was trying to not fall off the thing. That's the only reason I ended up on the wall.
Seriously, I bet Donna could drive it.
But don't I have some sort of an obligation to tell the guy that I've damaged
when
his truck
gets
2 weeks?
Home, you can tell him.
No, first... No.
No, you don't
never,
think...
You
I
get it
know.
Fixed right and you never tell him. Especially since it's not even like body damage. It's not even structural damage that anything's going to affect the ride of the truck at all. It's just cosmetic. So you just have it repainted.
I can't believe this, but according to Psycho Mike, the K-Rock microphones were there as I pulled Marty's truck into the driveway, and I think we have that tape.
I want to thank Bean's wife for sending us that tape. Luckily, she was running a tape recorder.
I'm surprised there was no body damage.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Let's go to Chris, who's calling in Pasadena. He's got some advice. I need to know how to salvage the friendship, how to get the truck fixed before he comes back. What's the process? What do I do? Chris, what do you think?
I think you should just fix his car and then tell him when he gets back, because it would be way worse off if you were to not tell him and then someone else, some other rogue listener, told him that you messed up his car.
Mm-hmm.
See, Ralph says don't tell him. Ralph says take it to the grave.
Yeah, don't tell him. He doesn't need to know. As long as it's fixed, it's
but
fixed.
What if he does
he
find
know?
Out?
And yeah, I'm killed.
Okay.
Bean pays him to be his friend. No matter what Bean does, the guy's going to be fine with it because it's his only means of support.
Good point.
Some window licker Bean gives a couple bucks to shovel manure in the farm or whatever. Come on.
Ralph, are there any things that you...
You're my truck. I better still keep working for you.
Are there any things that you should tell a close friend? I mean, if you don't tell him when you trash his car, if I tapped his wife by accident one night, is that the type of thing that I shouldn't tell him?
Yeah, tell him his wife's a whore, but don't tell him that you tapped her.
Bringing you the hard-hitting news interviews of the day.
Stuck on this.
Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other. Now they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her.
Oh.
If he has sex with her. Yeah. So they're putting them on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
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 Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat.
Who's
about
laughing
the...
there?
Nobody.
Who's laughing?
It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Chang Chang.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. Panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
to
hear?
No, that's his name.
That's my name.
That's your name. Okay,
I think he got trouble for saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely
so
different.
Cheng Cheng.
Okay.
Very
so
different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, "You here? I deliver pizza for you."
Right.
And then woman pandas say, "Come in. Would you like some bamboo?"
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, "Yes, but I have a stock for you right here."
Okay. They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But
Cheng Cheng, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me an idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he does.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't
in
know.
Pounds.
In pounds. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You
right.
Do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Bracker, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Bracker. Just
oh, you're watching the Battlestar Galactica too. I see.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
Maybe.
Cheng Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really, because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts. I don't care. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
Oh.
She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
She's not a woman.
Hey, come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be.
Like
you're in the zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper keeps feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah? And that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, that Thai stick I think is pot.
What?